Welcome to Chinuch Today. I am your host, Rabbi Yerachmiel Garfield. Please join me as we highlight innovative ideas and inspiring people from the world of Chinuch. Welcome to another episode of Chinuch Today. This is Yerachmiel Garfield, and today we are discussing something extremely timely, and that is the solar system and the eclipse, which is coming in the next 2 weeks to a state near you. There is a line that will be coming actually through Dallas and Western, I believe, Pennsylvania and New York, that is totality, as it's called. But I think everywhere in America is going to be impacted, and schools are starting to discuss how to deal with it, etc. So we have on today Rabbi Astreicher, who has an organization called Avenues of the Sky, which is a portable planetarium. And he brings that planetarium to schools in the Northeast, sounds like primarily in the Lakewood area, and is able to put on an amazing show and talk about the Niflis Habayre in a Torah-tick away, looking at planets. And so it's funny, I've been seeing him at a number of Torah Masorah conventions where they have an area where different people sort of sell their wares, and he always had a planetarium there. I haven't really gone in, although probably next time I'm there I will after meeting him. But he shows how he could bring it with him and get, I think, about 50 to 80 students, I forgot the exact number, in at a time and show them about the Niflis Habayre, the amazing wonders of our solar system. The solar system is something that used to be much bigger in the world. I think back in the day, they knew in the times of the Gemara, etc., they knew about the solar system and the cycles and the positioning of different stars and different aspects of that. Today, we sort of moved away from that. But it's a whole chachma. It's a whole discussion in Rishonim, and he talks about the Rambam and other shittas in the Rishonim that discuss the meaning of this. And I think that is very timely because now that we're having this unique event, once in a lifetime event of total eclipse, it'll be on our minds and something we'll be talking about. So you could listen here to this interview with the Avenues of the Sky. And just one aspect of the chinuch of it I'd like to highlight, which is that think about it when this young Rabbi Shia Hertz Astreicher was in sixth grade and in science class. I am sure he was fascinated by learning about the world and different aspects of the world. But at the time, it may or may have not have been accentuated by his teachers or his parents or his environment, but he had in him this amazing interest and capacity and passion and potential. And I think that, so many kids have different things that they're interested in, different passions, different ways that their life is going to develop. When they're young, we don't really know. And that's why it's so important for schools to offer diverse opportunities and to respect the passion and interests of kids. And of course, we do our best in schools. It's hard because we have, limited resources for each individual passion. But if there would be an opportunity where we see a kid who shows a real interest in something, to try to find a way to accentuate it so that he or she could really explore it. And who knows, they might become the next Avenues of the Sky or the weather person, or an artist, or a musician, or an architect, or so many amazing, wonderful things that are in this world for us to explore. So I hope you enjoy this episode, and he has a sefer, as you'll hear, that teaches more about this. So many resources out there. He also has a website, so you'll be able to explore the sky yourself and reflect on this amazing event that will be coming in the next 2 weeks. Hope you enjoy this episode. Welcome to another episode of Chinuch Today. We're so excited to welcome Rav Shia Hertz Astreicher, who is the founder and director of the Avenues of the Sky, which is so unique and so different. I love how we're able to shake up what we offer here at Chinuch Today with something you have not heard about, I guarantee. Shalom, Rav Shia.
Shalom Lechem. Thank you so much for having me today. Really appreciate it.
It's great to have you.
It's an honor. Yeah.
And wonderful. So, before we get into the Avenues of the Sky project, which is so interesting and always such a highlight for those of us who go to the Torah Masorah Convention, we see your setup and it's so intriguing and interesting. But before we get into that, I'd love to know, where did you grow up? Where are you from?
Lakewood. That's it. Straight Lakewood from the beginning.
Really? Well, Lakewood a few years ago is not the same Lakewood as it is today. It's an Andersha Lakewood.
It's true.
You go
certain sense, it's the same. I went to Satmachaider.
Oh, Satmachaider. Okay.
Satmachaider. That was the only Chassidish school those days. So, anyone right. That was a little bit Heimish to totally Chassidish was all together. So, on Shabbos, I wear a Bekesher. Obviously, the shavuot now with the satmar, but it's from there. I wear a short jacket and bend down the week.
Why'd you
Full
guys,
fledged
you end up in
guys.
Lakewood? Was your someone learning, or like, why did you live in Lakewood?
Father went in yeshiva, and then he stayed after.
Oh, he learned in Lakewood.
Yeah, but the samachai they got me far because knowing Chassidish Yiddish, I was able to give shiurim to a broader community, and I go to Chassidish Shalom all the time. I'd be able to give shiurim in Yiddish, which is a big
That's
plus
amazing.
that
So what did
having
you do
another whole language.
after, where did you learn, what yeshiva did you learn in, like after high school? Did you go to Eretz Yisrael, or were you in America?
I learned in after I learned in Minsk for high school, and then I learned in Rebbein Reich's yeshiva for Beis Medrash, and then I went to Rav Tzvi Kaplan, and then I came to Beis Medrash Gevoel in Lakewood,
Wow.
where I am today.
That's a very well-worn path, that path, Baruch Hashem. A lot of wonderful people have followed that path, but they didn't end up running a program called Avenues in the Sky. So you're back in Lakewood, you're learning. I assume you got married at some point. How'd you get from there to running this program, which we will talk about?
So you can say I always had some type of natia cheshek for astronomy, how things work in the sky, and whenever I had questions, I used to ask people that I thought maybe would know the answer, and I didn't get too far. I got a couple answers, a little bit. I feel there's a very big lack of education in this topic, and it doesn't have to be that way. There is like every topic, some people know more, some people know less, and this topic, there are far less people that know anything about it. But there are still many people that do know. And whenever I found someone that knows, I used to ask them questions and try to pick up the more information possible to be able to get in the topic.
Wow.
And then I learned in Nichol soon after I got married, Maseches Rosh Hashanah. So I spent some time on the sugyos over there. There's some good svarim that were a little hard to read, but mostly it's a Hebrew. There's a sefer from Ezvahadar put out a sefer called Merchev Erekiah, written by Shai Walter. And every eighth word is a modern Hebrew word. So it's Hebrew, but it's modern Hebrew. And I don't know modern Hebrew, and definitely to read it is very hard. But I spent a lot of time on that. And I was able to get a Clarkite in the Inyan to a certain extent. And
Wow.
then Birch Sechama was around then. It was about 16 years ago, 15 years ago, Pesach, I think it was Birch Sechama. So I spent a lot of time on a lot of Svarim came out then. And I was thinking to myself, maybe next Birchas Hachamo, in 28 years from now, someone will make a planet, not just to give Shurim and Svarim, someone will do a planetarium show for the Yiddish community. That's what I'm thinking to myself. And I said, wait a second, why someone and why 28 years? There's a planetarium in the next town over in Toms River. Go ahead, knock on the door, and ask the director if I could do a show for the community. Why not? So I went ahead, knocked on the door, and the director said, yeah, no problem. That was it. She said, yeah, we did it sometimes for different communities, and we'll do it for the Jewish community too. And she helped me for a whole week. We set up a whole show, and she gave me a lot of time. And I was a little nervous my first time giving a show. I invited some family and friends. They said it will be the same charge as they charge the school charge, was like $3 a head.
Right.
Whoever I bring, charge $3 a head, and they'll let me do it. So about 14 people showed up, family and friends, and we did my first show, and it worked. It was very spent a lot of hours, but actually gave a planetarium show in a real planetarium, the Novens Planetarium, about 100 seats. It had two different type of star projectors in there, the full deal. But that was that. I get a call a few weeks later by the director. She tells me like this: if you really want to do another show, they're not renewing my contract anymore. By the end of June, I'm out. So if you want to do another show, do them
Now's
before I'm
the
out.
time.
Now's the time. So it was June 1st, about 1 month before she left. My chabura in yeshiva, Mesmer Shkoway, was learning Erevin. And Erevin, I believe Erevin Nun Dalet, I think, is speaking about the paths of the sun takes different routes throughout the year. And I said, now's the opportune time. Let me go ahead and do a show in the planetarium. So I put up some black and white, no graphics, signs all around the Spanish Gavoya, maybe one sign in Satmar Shul, but it was no major advertising. And I put up the sign. I said, it's going to cost $5 a piece. I said, $3. It's going to cost no money. $3. And whoever wants could come. And I didn't know how many people were going to show up. There ended up being 180 people inside.
Wow.
That means kids were sitting on the father's laps. The whole perimeter of the dome, people were sitting, standing behind the seats. They put another bunch of folding chairs, but they closed the doors after 180 people. There was another at least 20 or maybe more people outside. Someone told me his father came from Brooklyn for the show. I'm happy he did not get locked out. So that would have been a shame.
Oh.
But people were interested. I realized this, wait a second. If 200 people showed up to my show, which with no prior knowledge, I mean, just black and white piece of paper, people are interested. So I did another one 3 weeks later, before a week before she left. And then they didn't renew her contract. The next Sukkot, I called them up and said, could I do a show for the community? They said, this time we'll give you the same deal that we made with the old director, but afterwards we're gonna have a new deal. So it worked out that Chalamoid, but afterwards they basically told me, get out of here, they don't want me anymore. So I couldn't work with them anymore. But the director gives me a call. She says that I have a portable planetarium. Do you want to use my portable and go around my portable? And I could rent it to you. So that was an old-fashioned star lab, which it just has some lights coming out of a cylinder and projects just stars and a little bit constellations, but not much more than that. And I went, maybe spent a year or two using her equipment. I used to rent it from her, pick it up, and do the show. And I went around, started going around to schools doing that. Then she tells me, she has access to a digital projector, but she can't rent it to me. She'll come down with me. She'll press the buttons. She'll do it, and I'll do the talking. Fine. That worked out for a while. And then, Baruch Hashem, after getting into the industry, I was trying to see if anyone has a good deal on a projector, and I, Baruch Hashem, got my own. And for the past around 10 years or so, I don't remember the exact number, I had my own projector, my own machine, my own planetarium. And I go around to schools, Kollel, yeshivas, camps, chadarim, groups, families, anyone that's interested in learning about Hashem's beautiful sky. With I set up this dome. It's about 17 feet wide, 10 and a half feet tall. And we put in about 30, 35 people at once. And it feels like you're sitting outside under the sky. And you give a beautiful presentation about anything you want in astronomy, whether you're learning about Kiddush HaChodesh, whether you're learning about Mishnayos Rosh Hashanah, you're learning about Parshas Bereishis, you want to know about the seasons more in depth. We're talking about for older people that want to learn Reish Samach Aleph, learning Ben HaShemeshes, or anything else. I could use the planetarium, and we have pre-recorded shows, which is basically paid. I bought a license to show a professionally made planetarium video about the planets, about the different weather. We have one on. We have one on biology also. Well, it's hard to find kosher ones that are kosher and sneistic and no kfir. That's not so easy. But there are a couple of shows that I could actually show, and we could do either pre-recorded shows or live shows. And Baruch Hashem, I've been doing this for many years, and I've been to a lot of schools, a lot of yeshivas, and every time we do it, everyone loves it. So it's amazing.
Amazing. It's really amazing. What a story. How you have like a passion and it sort of evolved with Akash Parku's help, to move it along. It's really just amazing. I have so many questions, so I don't know where to start. Like part of it is content questions, and then part of it is how you do your thing. So I guess I'll start with the content questions. Let's just assume I know very little about this topic. So the sky is the same. Meaning, when you show the projector, it's the same everywhere in the country that I go. It's going to be the same basic setup of the stars and where they are. Is that true or is it different?
So technically, if I sit here and I sit and move over an inch, it's different, but that's obviously not practical. So yes, every time you move, it does change a tiny bit. But the question is, how much do you change that will actually affect? So the furthest I've taken my planetarium was Saratoga Springs, New York, not far from Albany. There was a Belzer yeshiva, and someone donated a piece of property and said they can't sell it. They can only make a yeshiva there. So that was the furthest I've taken my planetarium. I've gone to give shiurim. I went already to Cincinnati, but I haven't taken my planetarium there. So far, I haven't gone too far with my planetarium. So, within a few hours of Lakewood,
It's all the same.
5 hours is not that much of a difference. Obviously, if I go to Texas, yes, the sky will be substantially different. The paths of the sun are much higher up. You're closer to the equator over there, and definitely You could change it to the location that's one of the settings over there. You put in according to your location. So now I just set it at 40-degree latitude, 74 longitude, which is basically Lakewood, New York, and it's
Got it.
pretty much that's good for everyone.
All
So
right.
far, you know.
Now, when you were a kid, how did you explore this? Like, what means did you have? You said you talked to people, but did you have one of those telescopes or what? Like, how did you express it when you were younger?
I was younger, I didn't have much. Like I said, I always had a thirst to understand, but I didn't have much. I mean, Halley's Comet did happen in 1993, and I maybe looked at it a little bit more with my binoculars, and it looked a drop better, but not much of a difference. When I was younger, I didn't have much. There was the Hale-Bopp comet that was out in 1993, and that I remember seeing, and was out for many months, and I used the binoculars to look at it a little better, but I didn't have much in astronomy when I was younger. I didn't understand too much. I remember in camp I was learning Masechet Zbeah, and it refers to Daf Chof in Rosh Hashanah, and I remember opening up Daf Chof and trying to figure it out, and it made zero sense to me. And I'd like, what in the world does this Gemara mean? Hopefully one day we'll figure it out. And Baruch Hashem, like I said, when I learned Night Seder Rosh Hashanah, that's when I spent a long time on it. And so all those years in between, let's say when I was 17, I learned that Gemara and Beah, and Rashi
Wow.
spoke about the Gemara Rosh Hashanah. All those years I wanted to understand and I didn't, but I finally got that Gemara, and then Baruch Hashem, it took off from there.
I'm curious, obviously Chazal Gemara was written a long time ago and in a different place in the world with a different constellation, I guess, based on what you were saying about Texas. Bavel is going to be different, even also. So, is all the information that's there something you could see today? Is it transferable? Or do they have a different vision of the sky?
Again, very minute. I mean, the Rambam explains that every goes on a rate of 1 degree per 70 years. So we're talking about 2,000 years ago, it could change 30 degrees. It changes somewhat, but it didn't change that much. And you're saying Bubble and Texas. So Texas is what degree latitude?
Have to
You
look that up.
don't know. Let's say, I'm not sure. Florida, at least 27 degrees.
We're about the same as Florida, pretty
Say
much.
Florida's very big, but Miami, I think, I don't
Yeah,
know
maybe
where
it's a little
Texas and Florida are both very big,
lower. Houston,
but on
very
a
right northern. Yeah, okay.
yeah, so it's that's even maybe more south
Yeah.
than Bavel and Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim's 32. I don't know where Bavel is pretty, I
Right.
think, pretty leveled with Yerushalayim, but I'm not sure. So it's not much of a difference. The latitude is what makes the difference the most. The longitude, that means we're different sides of the
Right.
globe, doesn't make much of a difference.
Got
You
it.
know, latitude is what really causes the
So
differences.
you're able to bring to life and show everybody what's being discussed in Chazal, essentially.
Yeah, it's nothing changed. You know, the same Torah, same halacha, same everything. Yeah.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Did you have a chance to speak to Rebelsky? I understand that Rebelsky was a real chacham in this, people
The
say.
Baruch Hashem, I spoke to him a few times, but not that long. The time I knew the topic, he was very old already, and he had a very good gabba. So even though when he came to Lakewood many times, every time I try to catch him and speak to him a little bit. So, you know, they say, they had officially a Belsky star. Now it's true. I don't know if it's true or not, but I asked him about it. So he thought I'm just making him crazy. So he said, So I said, was it a supernova? Was it something else? So he saw that. I didn't know a little bit what's going on. So he tells me, I used to call up the planetarium. I think they made a mistake or something like that. So the way I understand the story was, is that maybe it's not, maybe this is my understanding of the story without verifying 100%,
Yeah.
that he got a star chart from the planetarium, and the star was missing on the star chart, not missing in the sky. People say there's a star missing in the sky, and he called up the planetarium. I mean, what does it mean a star is missing in the sky? So a new
Yeah.
star could be a supernova, but how does a star disappear? I mean, a star could go bust, but then everyone would have spoken about it, and it wouldn't have been a Rebelsky's Kiddush. You know, when a star goes bust, everyone's going to find out about it. The whole world will be talking about it. There's a star called Betelgeuse or Beetlejuice that they say technically could disappear any day. It could blow up, and they have no idea when it's going to happen, and it may happen at any given time. So that everyone would have known. But I think he said, what I understand he was, is that he called him up that there's a star missing on the paper.
Got it.
So they asked him, how do you know there's a star there? So, I mean, you can match it up with a different paper, but I'm not sure. So he answered, when you come into your living room and the couch is in the wrong place, how do you know? Because you know. So that's the way the story goes, that how he answered the planetarium. But that, so I got a couple times out of him. I asked him many times to write a scum on my sefer. I felt that if I written a sefer on Atila Sidayim to get from Rabbi Belsky, it would be nice. But I said, a sefer on astronomy, it's Shri L'Rakia, Baruch Hashem, I wrote it 1.5 machzorim ago. I wrote it in Lashon HaKodesh, and then this past machzor, I wrote it in, I retranslated into English. So I said, it's missing. It's not like, it'd be nice to have it from
Right.
Rabelski. Everyone's asking, where's that coming from Rabelski?
Good.
I tried it many times to give it to him. People have told me that when he was Nifter, it was still sitting on his desk. So it means he didn't just, chuck it and throw it out and give it away or whatever. He still had it there, but I never got a scum from him.
Okay.
I remember one of his Talmidim, my Rebbe, Rav Zev Smith, told me he'll work on it, but then the time he worked on it that year, he passed away, and I never got a scum from him. But I did speak to him a couple of times. Baruch
Is
Hashem, Rav
there
Shlomo
anyone
Miller, I
else
spoke to
who
him.
is like a gadol in this topic that's known? Or who's
The other
like.
one, yes, the other ones I spoke to was Rabbi Eliyahu Levine. Rabbi Eliyahu Levine is doesn't like with Naomi. He's going out there. He knows everything, and he knows the topic very well. When I wrote my sefer, I wanted to get a skamas. I got them from Lakewood Roshivas. I got from the Sklana Rebbe in Lakewood. I got from my Roshiva. But I wanted someone that knows this topic, not just the skam on me, the skam on the sefer. So Baruch Hashem, he was asking him to sit down with me for 2 hours, and he went through the whole entire thing cover to cover, and
Wow.
he gave me a skam on it, and he told me a few things to write about. He gave me a little bit of hadracha, how to give shiurim on the topic. That was Rabbi Eliyahu Levine. I mean, the topic people ask always about what goes around what? The earth goes around the sun goes around the earth, or once a day does the earth spin, the universe spin? All these things people ask, which way do you explain it? So I asked him this question. I said, am I allowed to say that once a day the world spins? That's the way we understand today. So he tells me, you should tell people both ways. I said, okay, that's sometimes when I'm giving a longer shiur or teaching my students. I teach yeshiva once a week for throughout the year, and end up coming out. They have 25, 30 lessons, so then I can speak about both ways. But sometimes I come to a place for 45 minutes,
Right.
start saying both ways, and it gets confusing, and you spend the whole topic on that. He said, not a problem, but tell them there are two ways. So I said, okay, that's also good, but sometimes even that gets confusing. So he told me it's not a problem. You're allowed to say the new way. So for me, I got a psak from Eliyahu Levine. I'm allowed to say the new way, the way the science understood today. I'm not coming to Paskin for anyone else. It's a very touchy subject. People take very to heart both ways. Whatever way you're going to say, other people are going to get very upset that for sure this way, for sure that way. It's interesting how people get very worked up about this topic. So I try to keep out of it. And, I tell people there's two ways, and I got my psak, and you could do whatever you want. I'm not telling you what to do. The other one I spoke to was I spoke to Rabbi Sorcerer a little bit, a few times. He explained me different topics. That was very nice. Rabbi Shlomo Miller, he knows this topic klar.
Really? Wow.
I say generally, who knows these topics? What's the mile of me?
Right.
I'm regular Ingemann, not a genius. Maybe I have an understanding in certain things more this topic more than other people, but I'm not in any way a genius. I'm a regular person. So I say, who knows the topic usually? It's big smart, dressy cap, smart people. Geniuses, they usually don't have the three qualities you need to teach this topic. That means the time, the patience, and the capability.
Right.
Rabbi Eliyahu Levine is a genius, but people don't understand what he's talking about. It's very hard. Rabbi Shlomo Miller has the capability and the patience, but not the time. He's busy running Klal Yisrael, so but he does have the capability and the
Interesting.
patience. And when I got a meeting with him, so he comes, he has the Beis Yisrael in Lakewood, and I got a meeting with him, and they asked me a private question. I said, no, not a private question, no problem. So I came came inside, and a bunch of people came in, a bunch of Yigalites and Shmuel Meir Katz came in along, and we sat down. I said, Shkoyle, I give shurim on the topic of astronomy. Could I say that once a day the earth spins? He tells me, standing on earth, it looks like the sky is moving. The sky is spinning, but if you stand in space, it looks like the earth is moving. I said, Shkoyle, very nice, but I'm asking a yes or no question. Could I say the earth spins once a day? He says, standing on earth, sky is spinning. Standing in space, the earth is spinning. I said, Shkoyle, but I need help. I have a yes or no question, like Yeshurim, and I'm asking Halacha Shaila, whatever, Hashkafa Shaila, that what am I allowed to do? Could I say the earth spins? And he said the same thing a third time. He didn't want to answer. Fine. So I continue talking. And in the middle of the conversation, suddenly he says, well, when the earth spins, Shmuley Katz jumps up and says, Ostreicher, you got the answer. That was the psak that I got through Shmuley Katz understanding that Rishlema said the Malata say the earth spins. But what's interesting is that Baruch Hashem, a few months ago, his kids were making a nice Shabbos for him. Most of his married couples came to, he has a daughter living in Lakewood, Clearstream, and they all the couples came for Shabbos, and they asked me if I could go ahead and give planetarium show for Shlomo Miller and his family.
Wow.
So it was the most highest level planetarium show I ever did. We're giving the God Ladaro, we're giving Shlomo a planetarium show. It was something totally different. We squished the planetarium into his child's den somewhere. They fitted it over there, and they moved the couches inside the planetarium. It worked out, and we had about seven couples, eight couples, plus Shlomo and his wife. And it was about an hour and a half, 2 hours. And Shlomo was recently not so, he's a little schwach and tired and weak. When he came in there, he lived up to it. He kept asking me questions and back and forth. It was
wow.
it was an amazing thing to be able to give him
wow.
a private planetarium show that I was able to give him Shlomo. So that was very nice that I was able
that
to do
is
that.
Very special, you know, to have that covenant to interact with him. And he knows his stuff, which is even more special, you know. Like,
it was very funny. So I had to repeat it to him what I usually say, that I say, this is the way I say over the story. So he laughed, and I said, so what's the psak? So he said the same thing again. He didn't want to answer. So his kids were laughing. He says, I guess you don't ask him enough questions. That's the way he is. You're not going to get 100% answer out of him.
Beautiful. That's really amazing. Are there halachas lemaisa that are nageya this yediyah? I mean, I'm not holding in the sugyas. I mean, it explains how things work, but is it like, you know, halacha lemaisa today that's nageya?
There are some halachas. Now, obviously, not that many. What?
Yeah. Where? Where does it come up?
Yeah, but more the sugyas. I mean, you're learning.
Right.
Learning is yay for learning, yay for Rosh Hashanah. Many, many, that's where most of the sugyas are. And there's sugyas all over Shas. There's sugyas in Shabbos and Brachas in Erevin, in Bav Metzia, in Bav Basra, many places in Shas, in Nida. All this that speaks about astronomy and has understanding how it works. But the whole topic of Zmanim, which is Halach Lamaisa, is all based on astronomy. So, I mean, obviously some people say, no, we'll just go with 72, we'll just go with 50, we don't care about any astronomy. And then you don't understand what's going on. You just say, okay, this is the way it is. And that without understanding. But if you understand what's going on, obviously it makes a difference in halacha of how things work. And that's one of the hardest shiurim to explain, why the time changes the length between shkia and tseis, or alois and nates will change throughout the year. It's a hard topic to understand. And if you understand astronomy, then you
right.
understand that better. But the most negay is for Hilchus Kiddush Levana a little bit, which is very negay. But again, we have Rabbanim, and like, have your time. You learn Hilchus Netilas Adayim. So big deal. Look at the Mishnah Berurah, ask your Rav, Yanei Shaili. You're going to learn
right,
it? Yeah,
right.
Of course you should. But let's say negay when Tchilas Man or Seves Man Kiddush Levana is understanding. People say the Meilud is going to be at a certain time. They start calculating, and what does this all mean?
Right.
And they don't have understanding in it. That's the most helpful if you understand astronomy. How to
what's
learn
the most popular topic that you speak about? Like you said, you have like a menu of shiurim. Like, what's the one that people are most interested in?
So, if there's no one topic that they're learning about a certain thing, then I would give a general show, and I'll try to definitely stress on the Kiddush HaChodesh a little bit, which how the moon phases work and all that. That's generally how I would.
Got it. Can you come to a place like Houston and we could rent the local planetarium? You can walk in off the cuff, look at their stars and darshan, or do you need your dafka, your setup?
Oh, you could do it anywhere. I mean, obviously, it's better to practice with the person that will actually run their equipment. To run their equipment, if I know the equipment, I can run it. If I don't know the equipment, I'll have to have them pressing the buttons. But whenever I have the reins in your own hand, it's a little bit easier. You know
right.
exactly what to expect. You know, when I was doing the show, one of my first shows back then in Tom's River in the Novus Planetarium. So one of the old presenters told me, "Listen, I'm telling you, let me give you a tip for life. Whatever shows up on the dome, just keep on talking." You know, so like I guess when you're not doing it yourself, then you can't always control exactly what's going to be
right.
up there on top. And sometimes the wrong things go up, and you expect something else to go up, and it goes up. So obviously, it would make sense to prepare with that person a little bit. I've gone, besides my own equipment, I've gone to Raritan Valley, in Hudson Valley, something like that, one of those planetariums. I went to in Long Island. I gave a show in the JetBlue Planetarium
Is there
across
a
the river.
like a group of planetarium enthusiasts like that? They all
I mean,
talk to each other, or they get together at the great.
I'm only from here in these groups. There's something called LIPS, which is Live Interactive Planetarium Symposium, and something called
Okay.
MAPS,
Do you go to those
Mid-Atlantic
things? Do you
Planetarium
go to those
Society.
events?
So if it's next to my house, that means within 2, 3 hours driving, then I would go down, and I gained a lot. They gained a lot. Obviously, it's going, you have to be careful. And I walk in there with my hat and jacket and my hat bent down with, the whole full deal. Like, oh, you're the guy with wearing the hat. That was the, that's it. That's what, yeah, I'm the yeshiva man wearing a hat the whole time.
It's impressive that you know, because I'm sure there's wisdom to learn over there. I mean, this is a whole sugya. It's a scientific reality. So there's got to be what to learn about how to do it and present it. And is there cutting edge stuff in this? Like they're learning new things, you're up on the times, or is it pretty much standard stuff that's been around forever?
Well, there's, in a certain sense, most of it's probably been around for a while. I mean, the planetarium industry, this whole thing with the digital planetarium is only, fairly new. Everything used to be that star lab that I have, or a star ball in a real planetarium. But again, let's say maybe past 15, 20 years is when they started doing much more digital planetariums, and that's the whole industry today, which is much nicer. Obviously, you just have a daytime sky means just one circle in the sky. Everything's black, and one circle of light means the sun, and the sun goes down and the stars come out. That's not so exciting. You have a nice, gorgeous blue sky with trees and a couple of houses and a barn on the horizon, and then you see a nice, bright yellow sun slowly traveling through the sky and setting and making a gorgeous sunset. You can't compare. It's much nicer. It still works the other way, but and people still liked it and were amazed, but I think it's much nicer if you have the digital
What about the
aspect.
scientific part? Like, are they discovering like new things about the galaxies? And I don't know what's going on with that, but is that.
I know a little bit. I try, I know more than someone that knows nothing, but mostly what the professors want to call it are busy with is more astrophysics,
What is that?
which is the understanding of how things work behind that. It means like what's the makeup of the stars and the makeup of this galaxy and all that. It's not so much what I do really is called celestial mechanics, which is old astronomy, which is how things work in the sky. And that's,
Not
like you're
the
saying, you
why, not the like scientific why, more of the like the what. This is what we have. Why it
know.
does it the way it does.
Yeah, in a certain sense, yeah. But in a certain sense, why means why do I see the sun rising at different places throughout the year? Why do I see it will be higher in the summer than in the winter? Why is there more hours of daylight in the summer than the winter? Why do you see different phases of the sun, moon at different times of the month? Why is the moon in the sky at the time of the eclipse? What's going on? I thought the moon's out by night. I was giving a shiur last night. And after the shiur, the Magid Shiur asked, said, "Look, my father's here. Show my father for 2 minutes." So I showed him the eclipse. He says, "What do you mean? What's going on? Why is the moon in the sky during the day?" So I never laugh at people, and people know very little about the topic, and it's not a problem. Someone says, "What do you mean? Why is the sun in the sky? Why is the moon in the sky during the day?" I
Totally
understand
fine.
what's bothering them.
Yeah.
They're assuming that the moon is in the sky only during the night,
Right.
and every day is the sun. And in reality, the moon is in the sky even amount of time as by day or by night in the sky. Obviously, by day, it's not bright and it's just white, and it's towards the beginning of the month, you can't even see it. So it comes out that a person sees it more by night. That's true, but in reality, it's
It's
in the
there.
sky the same amount as by day as by night throughout the year on average, basically.
Do you have in your mind like the guy expert that you wish you could sit down with, like the doctor, some expert guy that you've seen around that's like, mamish, I wish I could sit down and talk to him or her?
Like again, what I mentioned, it's like astrophysics, and it's technically not what I teach,
Got it. Are there people in Eretz Yisrael doing what you do, like going around with the planetarium and teaching the kids? Or is this
That's
the.
an interesting question you ask. I'll tell you what's going on. Rabbi Lubin, you met Rabbi Lubin ever by the Torah Mesorah Convention? So he bought a planetarium about 4 years ago, and he's been talking about it for a while, and he asked me if I care. I said, "Of course not. Why not? The more planetariums, the better." And especially he's like, "Yeah, I'm in Eretz Yisrael." I said, "Bring one here too. There's enough to go around. Baruch Hashem, Klal Yisrael has that many schools. It's not a problem. Another planetarium, another person doing planetarium shows will just make it more
Good for you.
teaching this in this topic, and everyone's going to stand to gain. So I have no problem more people jumping on opening up planetarium. That'll be wonderful." But he bought one in Eretz Yisrael, and he didn't do anything with it. Recently, a few months ago, someone calls me up and says, "Oh, Rabbi Lubin asked me to help him out the planetarium, and he asked me a few questions. He said he wants us to get it running." And last week, the guy gave me a call after calling back, and I didn't reach him. Yeah, maybe he's trying to start it. So let's see if it happens.
Ah, okay. Yeah, there's no reason not to, right? I mean, it's a cool thing. What is the connection between astronomy and reading the future and seeing things and the meaning of the koichos? Is that a Yiddish thing? And what's up with that?
So I don't know too much about astrology, if that's what you want, if that's what you're asking
Right,
about.
the astrological part of astronomy, I guess. Yeah.
So astrology is based on astronomy.
Right.
Definitely, no question. Today, the Goyim are not like they used to be. They used to be the Zohar. Now they're just a bunch of atheists. So they don't want to believe in anything today. And you tell a regular Goyish astronomer by mistake, you call him an astrologer. That'll be the biggest insult because you're taking a real science and you're making with some superstitious thing. They'll get all insulted.
Got
You
it.
know, they get very insulted. But obviously, we know it's all Tali Zebazeh. Hashem created the mazalos. Mazalos are real things. And in the Yiddish aspect, there's Zayin mazalos and Yud Beis mazalos. The Zayin mazalos are the five visible planets, the sun and the moon. Each one's meshamish for another hour a day. And that's what the Magen Avraham says in Hilchus Kiddush, not to make Kiddush between 6 and 7. Mazal Madam is meshamish then. For Birchas Hachama, it's when the year starts in the beginning of Yom Dalel, the end of Yom Gimel, that means Tuesday, 6 o'clock will be Shabsoi. That's the year you do Birchas Hachama. So there's many Gemaras. I think about six Gemaras in Shas that speak about those Zayin Mazalos. Each one's Meshamash for another hour. It's a Hashpah that you can't see anything physical, but that's the hour. There's the Gemara on Daf. I think it's Kuf Nun Vav in Shabbos, and that's when the Gemara says Yesh Mazal Yisrael, Ein Mazal Yisrael.
Right.
And it seems like even if you hold Ein Mazal Yisrael, it seems like from the Gemara and from the Shainu Vashur is that it doesn't mean there's no mazel. It just means that it could be changed. Rashi says, "Aidei Torah or Ma'asim Tovim or Tefillah." I forgot two of those things. Rashi says it could be changed. The Gemara brings down the story of Akiva, his daughter, the day she was supposed to get married, and she took her pin by night and she put it in the wall and she killed a snake. And she's the Akiva said, "Why did the snakes happen?" She said, "Because a poor girl, poor Ani was poor Ani, right, was asking for food, and I gave him my portion. And that's how she was saved." So the Gemara, it sounds like clear from the Gemara, there's yesh mazel, but you could change it through ma'asim tovim or whatever it is. So there's something called Yud Beis Mazalis, which is the 12 connected the 12 months of the year, and the sun travels through the mazalis once a year, and that's something I could actually physically see, and that's something I could show in the planetarium. I could actually show it, and you could actually see the
Cool.
mazalis. These are things you can actually understand what it means that each month is another mazel. That's something you can understand. Now, in the Gemara language, we call Goyim Akum. I guess the censor made it right, Akum. But what does it stand for? It stands Ovid Kechavim Umazalis. They went ahead and they were worshiping the Kechavim and the Mazalis, which is the Meshamshim of Hashem. That means Hashem put Hashpah on the world through these things. And instead of being Ovid Hashem, they're being Ovid the Meshamshim. And that's where they're going wrong. How they're doing Avodah Zarah through being Ovid the Mazalos instead of being Ovid Hashem. But it's definitely, there's a real meaning in Torah. It's a real thing, these Mazalos, and how much Hashpah they have in the world, how it works exactly, I don't know too much about it. Astronomical part, I can explain what you see, the astrological, how it works and what it does. There's Evan Ezra has a lot of swarm on it, but I don't know too much astrology. You
That's
know, the
the
Sharon Zeres from Para, you know,
next thing.
I don't know too much about how that works, you know.
Do you dream of like being able to go to the moon? Would that be something that like you'd get all into, or is like no thanks, I'll stay here.
I'll stay here, you know. I'll
You
just talk about
just
it.
want to talk about it. You don't
I
actually
should dream about going to place to see the total eclipse. That I dream about, but
Oh no, let's talk about that. So we're recording this in mid-March. But there is a major, I hope to get this out before the major event so people could hear about it. Tell us about the major astronomical event that's coming up soon.
so there's going to be a total solar eclipse passing through the United States, starting from Texas, but not where you're.
Right, we're in Houston, so I believe it's Dallas.
Austin, I think, is going to be, and
Awesome.
Austin's going to just make it. Dallas is going to be big. And it's going to, from that, a line about 115, I think, something like that, miles wide. And it's going to go across the United States, but not from right to left, from bottom, from Texas through Maine. And anyone that's going to be in that path on April 8th at the right time for a few minutes, the most about a little over 4 minutes, but starting ranging from if you're on the edge, about 2 minutes to the middle. It'll be 4 minutes, and it'll get dark in the middle of the day, dark enough to see the bright stars and planets in the middle of the day. It's a once in a lifetime opportunity. And if you're able to go ahead and travel there and take your kids, take your students to see it, people say, we don't, that's too far away. I mean, people travel from New York all the time to Washington, D.C. for a whole day trips, and they go there 20 hours. They go ahead and travel to Niagara to see the falls, and they spend the whole day, and they go to all kind of places. They spend the whole day. So obviously, I can't
What's
tell
the
them.
cap? The moon is going to cover the sun in Ganson and to in total. Is that it?
So with a total solar eclipse, the moon goes right in front of the sun, blacks it out, and it gets dark in the middle of the day for while the moon is in front of the sun. But it's not a one, it's not only the 4 minutes that you actually see that, is a build up. First you watch, make sure you got the right eclipse glasses. That it's very dangerous to look at the sun. Any day it's always dangerous to look at the sun, but usually Hashem makes it that your eyes will automatically close if you try to look at the sun. But at the time of a solar eclipse, because the moon is blocking a big part of the sun, and you try to look. Physically, it's possible to look, and even 1% of the sun is still uncovered, and it could burn a hole in a person's retina and cause permanent damage, cause
Oh,
like
yeah.
your part of your vision be missing, or Chas V'Shalom whole vision missing. It's not worth it playing games. These eclipse glasses don't cost too much. I mean, you wait till last minute, they might go up in price crazy, but the eclipse glasses don't cost that much now, and it's definitely a good idea that you get them for the students and go outside in the beginning when it watch the first, it's called first contact, when the moon goes ahead and starts covering the sun a drop. It's an exciting part. You suddenly see a tiny little nick, like it looks like someone took a hammer and chipped off a piece of the sun. And that nick keeps on getting bigger and bigger. And depending how close you are to the place that'll be total, that's how big the nick will be or missing. So in Lakewood, we have about 90%. If you go up upstate, let's say to the Catskill area, there'll be a 92%. But if you go up to Albany, it might be like a 97%. But if you go to a place like Syracuse, Rochester, Montreal, Buffalo, Cleveland, Plattsburgh, all these places will have a total solar eclipse. So it's not that far from New York, New Jersey area. And you could definitely take a
What's
bus up
the
there.
I don't mean to be, to question the beauty of this moment, but what's the big thing? So it only happens once, X amount of time. You said a lifetime. But in the end of the day, it's just a, unique position. It's like this Coca-Cola can and this cup have never been in a line like this. Well, what's so miraculous or tremendous about it?
So a total solar eclipse is last time I tried to go to see it and I got clattered out. It did get dark in the middle of the day and it was very interesting to see getting dark in the middle of the day. People say it gets cloudy in the middle of the day, like you're saying, big deal, you know? So first of all, before I get to the real answer, anything is, like you're saying, anything is silly. You see water coming down Niagara Falls. I open up my bathtub, also water comes down. So what's the big deal? So a little bit more water, you know? So technically, anything in life, you could say it's nothing. You know,
Okay.
only thing is Torah, Mice, and Tovim, and anything else, technically,
Now you're talking, don't you? Yeah.
you could say is anything else you could say is nothing really too important, nothing too interesting. That's true. But to answer your question, the proper answer is that what's interesting about the total solar eclipse is, like I said, I didn't see it, but all those people that have seen it told me there's no sight like it, like they ever saw that in their life. You
Really?
see, the moon goes in front of the sun. Looks like a black hole in the sky. And the beautiful, it's called corona. Corona means a crown. Now we all know that word. But there's an outer atmosphere of the sun, makes beautiful lines and loops and whatever, okay, you want to explain those wisps and loops around the sun, which
Interesting.
generally it's impossible to see. The brightness of that corona is about the brightness of a full moon. If you put a full moon next to the bright sun, it'll be invisible. So you can't see that on a regular day. But because Hashem made it, there's a totality by design, I would say. It comes out that the moon is almost the exact same size
Right.
as the sun in the sky. That's totality by design.
Right.
Beautiful design. Hashem made
Right.
perfect design. He
Right, the
made
moon
it
and the
that
sun
even
have to be
though,
the exact right spot for that to, right.
right, so it means even though the moon is 400 times smaller than the sun, but it's also 400 times closer.
Wow.
That means anytime you take one finger and put it a foot away and take two fingers and put it 2 feet away and close one eye, your one finger will block out two fingers because two times as far, two times as big, It's the same thing. It proportionate, it works out. So Hashem made it, the moon goes the same size as the sun, and then it could go every so often it happens, it goes exactly in front, and you see this beautiful corona around, which they say takes brings you to tears. They
Wow.
can't stop looking at it. There's no sight like it. So I hope to see it, and I hope
Okay.
they'll be able to get to see it. That's
Wow.
the
Well,
goal.
that's a great answer. I really appreciate that. Are there any mentions in Torah and Chazal about this event?
So I say it in a joking way, but maybe there's some seriousness to it. The Gemara says, "Bezman shachamaloike, simura for the goyim. Bezman shalavonaloike, simura l'sanem shel Yisrael." Lashon Sagi Nor. So, even though it's a joke, but like I said, in a certain sense it's real. When the lunar eclipse happens, we say no. The Gemara says, "Bezman shachamaloike," it doesn't mean a lunar eclipse. It means something else. Something. What? I don't know. Something else. When there's a solar eclipse, yeah, bats for the goyim, bats for the goyim, you know? So it's interesting. So does it mean that Gemara? I don't know. Maybe a
Is there a
chance that it
bracha?
does
I
mean
wonder
it.
if there's a bracha on such a thing.
So the most person that I spoke to, I think, said you don't make oysa masa bereishis.
Why
I could
not?
be there are some that do. It seems like it's like you said, like I said before, there's nothing new. It's just they put the coke can over there, you know?
I mean, yeah. Now that I thought that at
That's what
the
it is.
beginning, but now I'm on your
But
side.
no, but that's.
I'm ready to make a bracha. Are you doing any special presentations around this for schools or for chevras, or do you develop some kind of special show about this?
I didn't develop any special show. I wanted to maybe give out some small videos, which hasn't happened yet. Now, I don't believe that might happen, but what I still would like to happen is maybe do a like with the one of these catapult the organizations that do the funding. They asked me maybe give a Zoom class for anyone that wants for teachers and talk to them a half hour while the lunch break. They'll listen to you and they'll be able to give it over to the kids because.
Right.
There's so much to actually do and understand better with this eclipse. I mean, people tell me, I'm going to take my kids out. So, yippee-doo. So, they're going to look at the glasses and then what do you see? See a hole in the sky. I mean, they're not going to totality. Maybe they should, but if they stay in a place that's not total and they don't see the beautiful corona, so they're just seeing a big, huge part of the sun missing. What should they do the whole time? We stand outside for 2.5 hours. So, there is different things that you could do with the students. You teach them that the moon is near the sun at the time of the Maulid, and you can't see it because only the other side is lit up. All these things I'm saying a little fast now, but technically, if you speak a little slower and you explain it step by step, there's so much to gain. And they actually see it in the sky that
Right.
the moon is near the sun.
Amazing.
And you can actually watch the moon traveling across the face of the sun, which over, you don't have to stand out for 2.5 hours, but show them in the beginning. And then come back an hour later when it may start getting a little bit dark. It's not going to get dark. As many times I'm going to say it probably won't be enough, but I'll try to say it as many times as possible. Only if you're 100% will it get dark. 99.9 is light. 100 is dark. The sky may turn a little, instead of light blue, it may turn gray, but that's not
Yeah,
dark.
right.
Not dark. Dark means 40 minutes after Shkia. Will they get that? No. So, but it may turn a little darker color, not dark. So that's something that you could take the students out and see if it changes a little color. The
Okay.
animals, whether the crickets, we have a lake with crickets, and the crickets may come out at that time because they think it's night. They say the birds and different things, I don't know, but like with we have the crickets, and let's see if the crickets will come out at the time of the eclipse.
Yeah.
You could go ahead and make projections with pinholes, it's called, that you can either use your fingers and cross your hands, and this between your two fingers is about, you know, 5, 7 different holes between your two hands, and through that light from the sun goes through and projects on the floor instead of being, if you do that today, it'll, even though your hands are square, it'll project a circle on the floor. That circle at the time of a solar eclipse, each circle will look like a crescent shape sun that you have in the sky.
Oh,
We'll do that. You can take a sifter and those holes, a colander, whatever it's called,
right.
and project it on the floor or on top of paper.
Small
And
crescent.
then every single circle will be a crescent. You could
Awesome.
do an activity with the kids. Take pencils and poke out the, you know, big holes. Each hole should be about, I'd say, 1/8 inch. They said maybe the right size. And make your date, write your name, and project it on a paper. Obviously, depending how big the holes are, you'll see how big the correct focus will be at a projected. This is interesting things. You can
Yeah.
actually do that. You could take, you know, you could do use a lens. If you go to the store and buy a reading glasses number one, and you project it 1 meter away, that's what one means. It's a meter away. It focuses at a meter away, then it'll be about a 1/2 inch circle, a beautiful circle at any given day when we do that with the sun. Now the whole glasses is a little bit very it's a little bit bright if the light is coming through the whole lens. So take a styrofoam cup and poke out a hole about, let's say, 3/4 of an inch or an inch, and then glue on or tape on the lens on the back of the cup, so only about a small part of that lens is the sun is going through, and then it'll project a very nice 1/2 inch circle a meter away on a paper, and that time of the solar eclipse that will change. If you could find the glasses that is 0.5 reading glasses, which is very hard to find, then it'll project an inch projection about 2 meters away. So that's a
Yeah,
little
cool.
different things you could do. You use a mirror. If you cover most of your mirror, leave open a small area on the mirror, let's say 3/4 of an inch by 3/4 of an inch. But again, you could play around with sticky notes and see how big you want to leave open that area on the mirror and project a reflection into a building. On the opposite side, you'll see a regular day, you'll see a nice bright. Let's say I did it in front of my house. I have a townhouse, a long, skinny house. So I went to the front of my house, I covered a mirror, left open a small area about a qu 3/4 of an inch by 3/4 of an inch, and I got a reflection of the sun to go all the way through my house to the opposite end of the house onto the wall, and it was about a 6-inch beautiful, perfect circle. At the time of the eclipse, it will be a crescent, and you could just watch it change. So there's different
Interesting.
activities you could actually do with the kids and bring a better understanding of how everything works. So
Beautiful.
there's what to do, not
I
just, you
love it.
know.
I love it. All right, wonderful. So what is your vision for the project in terms of the schools? Like, what do you want to do? You want to grow it further? You want to hire a second guy? You want to get a bigger planetarium? You just want to keep doing what you're doing? Like, do you have a vision for the program?
Vision, you know, it's hard to have a vision exactly, but what I would like is obviously that every single school should be doing it at least once every 4 years. You know, sometimes a bigger school, so they could, when I come to the school, we do one grade and they should take me every single year.
Right, that
But
would be good.
when a smaller school, they, you know, it's expensive just for one class, so they say, you know, we'll do it for all the classes, and then to ring, I could technically do a little different show next year, but I understand to bring me in every year. That's something much, not, you know, it's a lot for a school. So at least those schools every few years to bring me in. It'll be nice to have every single school. Now, to do that myself probably won't be possible. I'm trying to get another guy on board, and I just started training him in a little bit.
Great,
Let's see if that
great.
works. And a
Good.
bigger planetarium. I bought a bigger dome. I
Okay.
bought a dome that is a 8 meter dome. The one I generally go around with is a 5 meter, so which is about 17 feet. 8 meter dome is about 26 feet or something like that, which is a bigger dome. You could fit in about the 70, 80 kids at once, which is 2, 3 classes. Hopefully, you know, and like I said, if there's other people who want to go ahead and open a planetarium, I'll be the first one to help them out and
So
let
nice.
me know. And with any questions, I think it will both stand to gain from it. Not a problem at all. There's so much to gain over here.
As we wrap up, is there anything else about the program that you think it's important that we talk about that you want to mention?
Yeah, one small thing. I mean, that what's interesting and exciting about a planetarium is it's a projection that's real. That means the computer program that shows r real life what it will look like at that any given time, date, or location. So generally, I set it for that location where the students will be, and I show them on the wall. Look over here. It says today's date. It says March 12th. That's the day we're doing this. It says 6 o'clock, and it says. And it's set for this location. So we could change this date, we could change this time, and we could actually show any time we want and any date in the real time. So we go forward in time and we make the night, make the sunset, and then you see, let's say at 7 o'clock at night, what the sky will look like at their location, their house tonight. I say, go outside, whatever you see here, you can actually see. So let's say tonight is Jupiter's out and it'll probably be out by the time this podcast gets out. It'll probably be Jupiter will still be there in the sky. So
Right.
you actually go outside, look towards the west, and see a bright star in the sky, and that is what you're going to see. This is planet Jupiter, and for real. And this won't happen by the time it gets out. I told them that I did a show today. I told them tomorrow night you'll see the moon right near Jupiter. Go outside, you can actually see it. It's real.
Wow.
And people think like this is for real. They don't even know that you can see planets. They say planets like something in a book, you know, we learn about it. So no, planets are real things. You go outside, it's actually there. It's a real thing, you know. Constellations, Big Dipper, I explain that also a little bit, and people think it's just made up, and the truth is it is made up. It's not a problem, but I explain it's not a problem that it's made up.
Right.
It's You could actually recognize stars in the sky. There's something called the Big Dipper, which is not even an official constellation, but it's seven stars set up in a pattern. It looks like a big soup ladle, whatever it is, that you can actually see in the sky. So you show it to the
Right.
planetarium, and they'll go by home by night
You can see
and
it.
actually see it. It's for
Right.
real. It becomes, they actually live it. So that's a, I think, feel
Beautiful.
like it's an
Beautiful.
amazing program because of
How
that.
can people get in touch with you? I assume it's more schools that you get in touch with you, not individual parents. Is that right?
Mostly schools, but parents sometimes. I mean, I've done it for
Like
a little bit
unions or
for
families.
families here and there, but
Yeah. So
my
how do
wife
they get
doesn't
in
like it
touch
that
with you?
much.
What's the best way to get in touch with you?
Best way is my telephone number. That's 848-223-2366. I have a small website that I basically just sell eclipse glasses on now, which is avenuesofthesky.org, and my email address is avenuesofthesky@gmail.com. I do look at my emails. I try to, but definitely the easiest way is giving me a call.
Okay,
Telephone number
wonderful.
848-223-2366.
We'll put that in the show notes so people don't have to write it down while they're driving. Rabbi Astreicher, it was great to meet you and hear your enthusiasm, your passion for this special aspect of the Bria and the Mitzvah Shema. I personally, you've inspired me. I want to learn more about it myself, so I'm gonna have to make my way to a planetarium.
I have to get you, I have to send you a sefer. It's
Yeah.
very easy read. My
Okay.
sefer was written, I didn't say my sefer, I said my sefer was written in a way that even someone with no knowledge before could understand, and written very, very easy. It's called Shvi'i Rikia. The English one for sure, even the Hebrew one was written extremely easy. So anyone wants to know more about the topic, it's definitely a good read. And all the
And
Svarim
that, of
stores
course,
could
you can
have
find
it.
that at your website, or you have, is that available at all swarm stores,
I say I
places?
used to have it on my website, but a guy bought it one time and the Rav said just send it to me. I felt funny. I said I took it off. So I
Yeah.
don't have it on my website
So
anymore.
I'll just
But
go and
any
get it.
Svarim
Swarm,
store.
so. Okay.
Yeah, if they don't have it, they could all get it. It's one of the regular distributors have it, so they could always request it
What's it
and
called
even add it to
again,
later.
in Hebrew and in English?
Shvi'i Rakia. Same thing, Hebrew and English, same thing. Shvi'i Rakia in Hebrew and Shvi'i Rakia in English. It's the same thing.
All right, wonderful. Well, thank you so much. This is really wonderful.
Okay, thank you.
So I hope you're all ready for this major eclipse, which is coming our way. You could still get those glasses online and be ready for it. I know a lot of schools are looking at different ways to make it educational and safe, as we are. There's actually a story going around with the Chafetz Chaim that he experienced this, I guess, in Radin. And he went outside and said how amazing it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has set up a world where you could see his amazing strength by taking it away for a bit. Take a look at that, which is circulating, and other things I'm sure will be coming out in our amazing Jewish media so that we can take advantage of this great opportunity. Thank you so much for joining us on today's episode of Chinuch Today. As I always remind you, sharing is caring. So please make sure to share our podcast with others who you might find interested. And of course, we're always eager to get your mail at chinuchtodaypodcast@gmail.com. That's chinuchtodaypodcast@gmail.com. Feel free to send any questions, thoughts, ideas, and especially potential guests. We'd love to, always looking for great programs out there. And with that, I wish you a wonderful day.